great at-bats. And what you're seeing is what we talked about, them, all the guys kind of getting adjusted to the spin. I mean, you can tell they were picking it up. I saw Jorge recognize and lay off some pitches that just wasn't necessarily seen in Cleveland. I think it's just going to keep getting better the more they see it.
It's a learning process. I mean, they saw something tonight. If you just think you can throw fastballs by people in the middle of the plate, you're not going to do it up here. Get away with it some other places, even if you're throwing 95. But these guys can hit right over there on the other side. They've got a bunch of really good hitters, and they made them pay when they missed. So, learning experience.
I mean, I thought the slider was good. The pitch was definitely there. They're just lacking kind of consistency. And I thought the first inning went great. I even thought the second inning went great. Just that one kind of hung up to Franco there. And then third inning, I think, just fell apart, just overthrowing, too amped up.
The following is a presentation of the Michigan Sports Network.
Rise and shine, folks. Good Tuesday morning to you. It is the 28th day of July 2020. We welcome you here to X's and Bros on the Michigan Sports Network. Ryan Elke and Danica Halen in the studio. I'm Anthony Bellino. It's a pleasure having you ride along with us, no matter who you are, where you are, or how you may be listening. We appreciate you making us a part of your day each and every weekday morning from 6 to 9 here on the Michigan Sports Network. Plenty of ways for you to get in contact with us this morning. You can text the keyword sports radio to 21000, sports radio to 21000. Give us a dial via the Auto Value guest line at 313-396-5527. We're on Twitter. You can find the show at XB Mornings. You can find us on individually at AC Bellino for myself, at Dan in the Studio for Danica Halen, and at Ryan L underscore Key for Ryan Elke. And then, of course, on Facebook at X's and Bros. And good morning to all of our viewers on Comcast Channel 900. You heard from Mike Matheny, Ron Gardenhire, Michael Fulmer there. Ron Gardenhire can't just throw fastballs over the plate. The other team will hit them. You know, after our quest for the World Series over the weekend, the Tigers got a big dose of reality last night in a 14-6 blowout on opening night. We'll get more into that, obviously, as the day goes on. But, gentlemen, good morning to both of you. Dan, Ryan, how you guys doing this morning?
Can't complain. You know, it was a crappy loss last night, but
yeah, it was.
There's 60 games, you know. They're going to lose a few of them.
Not anymore. Now there's only 56. They only have 56 games left. They got to get it in gear. What's the matter with them? It was, some thoughts about opening day that we'll get into in the next segment. But it was, it's weird, man. It is weird. I'll take it. It's got, you know, we have sports on television. So, you know, we do the best we can with what we've got, where we're at, that type of deal. But not exactly, didn't exactly feel great.
Was it weird? Was it weird that they were playing road games with no fans? I don't know.
It didn't really bother me.
But you have to remember, this isn't normal. You just gotta just go with it. I know it's, you know, technically opening day, but it was also July 27th. It's not like, you know, it's the end of March or the first week of April. That's when it really feels like opening day. This was kind of just, they're playing baseball again. It didn't seem like it was actually an opening day.
Yeah, that's true. Usually opening day in Detroit means multiple pairs of socks, hand warmers, hats, hot chocolate that's spiked, tents with heaters. That's usually what opening day means for Detroit in April. Because it's never, you know, very rarely do we get to see an opening day with decent weather. And we got it this time, but under a very, very strange circumstance. All right, what's going on in the sports world? We'll try to get you all caught up with all the happenings. We'll do so right now in the headlines.
Big news.
I have a little news flash.
Let's check the headlines.
No, it's real news for once.
The biggest stories of the local, regional, and national news.
This is huge news.
All right, yesterday, one of the local sports talk stations in the city of Detroit, you know him by the name of Jamie Samuelson from Jamie and Stoney, he revealed yesterday morning that he's been battling colon cancer for the past 19 months. He revealed his diagnosis after an infection recently forced him to take some days off. He's just 48 years old, had not been on the air recently, co-hosting Jamie and Stoney with Mike Stone. That is on in the weekdays, and he said he was diagnosed with cancer in January of 19. Like many men and women around here, doesn't make us unique or different or special, but it certainly is a massive gut punch when you think your life, where your life is headed. And it throws you for a loop. He continued to say it makes you reassess everything. It makes you hug your kids a little bit tighter and your family and your friends a little bit tighter. It's a battle, and the battle goes on. So that was a, that was big yesterday for everyone in Metro Detroit because he's one of the most likable people. And Dan revealed to me yesterday, I guess not really revealed, he just told me a story, that he actually interned for them.
Yeah, I interned for Stoney and Bill, you know, their previous morning show, and Jamie would fill in probably once a week. So, I mean, I saw Jamie all the time for 8 months. So, yeah, it was we're wishing Jamie the best.
Indeed, Andy. And I thought that, you know, Shep gave him a really nice plug last night during the Tigers game on FSD. So that was kind of cool because, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, it doesn't really matter, you know, where you work or anything, you know, of that nature or, you know, competitors or, I mean, this is a human thing. And, you know, we hope the best and wish the best for Jamie. Former 49ers player Dana Stubblefield has been found guilty of rape. How about this? He was found guilty by a Santa Clara County jury yesterday following a 9-month trial. And 5 years after the woman reported the 2015 sexual assault to police. I've always wondered, how come our court system takes so long? Prosecutor said Stubblefield lured the then 31-year-old woman who has developmental disabilities to his home in Morgan Hill, California on April 9th, 2015 under the pretense of a babysitting job. If you want to read more about it, you can. But there you go. Ravens kick returner DeAnthony Thomas has opted out of the season because of the pandemic. It's believed that it's his personal choice not to play. No pre-existing medical conditions that we know of that factored into the decision, but he became the second NFL player to opt out this season. Roger Goodell sent a letter out to fans. We'll get into that a little bit later on in the show, but trying to explain what this season is going to entail. Cody Latimer is on the exempt list as he deals with an arrest. The Washington football team's wide receiver was charged with multiple felonies stemming from an arrest in May and has been placed on the commissioner's exempt list. Players placed on that list are permitted to practice or play in games. They're not permitted to practice or play in games. They're only permitted to, quote, be present at the club's facility on a reasonable basis for meetings, individual workouts, therapy, and rehab, and other permitted non-football activities. Not just multiple felonies, no big deal. Brooklyn Nets Kyrie Irving has committed $1.5 million to help pay WNBA players who have opted out of the bubble. Did you guys know the WNBA started?
Yes, I did.
Okay. I was just...
Because I cannot say her last name.
Is it Sabrina?
Yes, Sabrina started her.
They went to Oregon.
Career.
And is it
Ionescu?
It's Ionescu.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's just a weird spelling. It's like I O N E S C U or something like that.
Yeah, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Does not make a whole lot of sense. Good friends with Kobe. Kobe's family. Clippers, Lou Williams. The jury's out on his chicken wing ordeal. Is that what it is? His chicken wing entanglement. He's going to serve a 10-day quarantine, and he's going to miss two games of the qualifier round. The NHL announces no positive coronavirus tests over the last week, so more good news coming out of the hub cities. We don't refer to them as the bubble. We call them the hub cities. And we'll have more on the NHL as we work our way through the week. Victor Hedman will rejoin the Tampa Bay Lightning after attending to a personal matter, so we had to leave the hub cities and come back. Michigan State says 16 athletes and 4 staffers have tested positive for the coronavirus. That's not ideal. They announced this that their entire football game their entire football team had entered a 14-day quarantine, which began on Wednesday because of the recent positive test. Who knows what that does? Power 5 conferences and season plans don't have to be identical, according to Bob Bowlesby, the Big 12 commissioner. Oh, yeah, well, that was the same guy that was very upset because his teams weren't invited into the college football playoff. We'll step aside when we return. Tigers opening night. It was weird. That's next. X's and Bros, Michigan Sports Network.
Quiet strength. It is informational and pragmatic. It is compassionate, determined, relentless, and giving. Quiet strength comes from the heart, and it also comes from the brain. Wanting to do the right thing is noble, but discovering how to do the right thing is impactful and lasting. The rehabilitation of traumatic brain injury is what we do at the Eisenhower Center in Ann Arbor. The knowledge, the expertise, the innovation, they come from the brain. Dedicating our lives to the lives of those affected by TBI is also what we do at the Eisenhower Center. The compassion, the respect, the concern, they come from the heart. Our goal is to share our quiet strength with you.
The Eisenhower Center, leading the way in traumatic brain injury rehabilitation. Learn more at EisenhowerCenter.com.
These days, we're all looking for ways to keep our families safe and our homes free of bacteria and viruses. To help in these uncertain times, your local Rood dealer is offering a free healthy home analysis. They'll inspect your current system and make sure it's keeping you and your family safe from airborne contaminants. Visit Rood.com. That's R-U-U-D.com to find a dealer near you and to schedule your free healthy home analysis. Breathe easy and breathe healthy. Rely on Rood. These days, we all agree we need to stay safe, and your local Auto Value Parts stores want to help. That's why we now offer same-day curbside pickup on thousands of in-stock parts. All you need to do is place your order at MyAutoValueStore.com. That's MyAutoValueStore.com. Then call the store when you arrive, and one of our team members will bring the order right out to your vehicle. It's that easy. Shop local. Shop Michigan-based Auto Value and support your friends and neighbors. Auto Value. Service is the difference. We get it.
Welcome back here to X's and Bros on the Michigan Sports Network. We appreciate you making us a part of your day each and every weekday morning from 6 until 9. That's Danica Halen and Ryan Elke in the studio. I'm Anthony Bellino coming to you from the basement radio bunker. Jake Woods down in the Glass City managing things for us there. So it's a COVID-19 made opening night feel a little bit different, but we've been doing things differently here on the radio end for quite some time now. Good morning to all of our viewers on Comcast Channel 900 as well. We had a text come in. You have plenty of ways to get in contact with the show. You can tweet at us individually. You can tweet at the show, or you can text the keyword sports radio to 21,000. It's going to send you a quick text to opt in. Basically, that's all it does. We're not going to send you a whole bunch of text messages telling you to come hang out with us every morning. But what it does do is gives you the opportunity to send us a text via a phone call. If you'd like the calls, 313-396-5527, 313-396-5527 is the Auto Value guest line. Last night, Tigers home opener. Kansas City, kind of a sad, empty feeling is the way that as I was watching the game a little bit last night and trying to figure out exactly what to pull from that game to speak about this morning, because there wasn't necessarily a whole lot that we could really talk about that was going to be very good. It was the fact that opening day felt different. It felt a lot different. And I didn't mind it so much when my team was on the road, right? I haven't minded the NBA bubble when watching some of the scrimmage games, because you know the music is so loud in the arena, you can't hear them talking. You hear the squeak of the shoes every once in a while, but it feels like something I've watched before. You know, this kind of felt like after a rain delay in minor league baseball, when you know they pulled the tarp and then the tarp came off the field, and everybody had already left. So you're just trying to get it done, but nobody was allowed in the first place. And it didn't matter to me when the team was on the road in Cincinnati, because I have no attachment to the Great American Ballpark. You know what I mean? It's just that doesn't matter to me. But to have the camera pan there in the top of the second and go from, you know, basically the right field line, and then take a look, just to be able to take a look at all of the emptiness there. That's about what I came up with. Was that this game kind of felt sad. The score also felt sad last night. 14-6 after a big series win in Cincinnati. The Tigers came out and they laid an egg. But you know, even though they looked good and competitive early, if the game would have stopped after the second inning, things would have been just fine. You know, down 1-0 at the end of two, or after the top of the second, I should say, and then going into the bottom of the second, Tigers offense explodes a little bit. They put five runs up. You're feeling good. 5-1 at the end of the second. And then this is what the pitching did. They gave up 3 runs in the third, 6 runs in the fourth, 2 runs in the fifth. Just tack on 2 more in the ninth just for good measure to pad some stats. And a final score of 14-6. The good news is the Tigers didn't manufacture 9 hits in the ball game. Kansas City, however, had 13. The Tigers pitching just wasn't there. Just was not there last night. And there's really nothing else you could say. If your starting pitcher is only going to last 2 2/3 innings, that's 8 outs last time I checked. That ain't great. He gave up 5 hits, surrendered 4 runs. All 4 were earned. Walked 1, struck out 2, and gave up 3 home runs, did Michael Fulmer. And threw 47 pitches. That's not an ideal outing for Michael Fulmer.
No, and I believe Fulmer is only going to go 3 innings to start the year anyway, because I believe he's going to be used more as an opener right now, coming back from surgery.
Who would have thought that even be a term in baseball? Not only do we have closers, middle relievers, setup guys, but now we have openers.
It is what it is. But I think the more disheartening thing of the whole game was the fact that he had 3 pitchers make their MLB debut for the Tigers. 2 of them we've been hearing about for, I don't know, seems like a greater half of a decade at this point. And Kyle Funkhauser comes up, needs, you know, 50 pitches to get through 1 inning. And then Bo Burrows comes up. He's averaging giving up a home run every 10 pitches. And these are guys we've heard about, again, for years, that they were going to be they're going to be cornerstones of this future Tigers rotation. And they can't even get a damn out. Mm. Like, and this is the frustration that comes with having Al Avila as a manager. We're told, like, all right, wait, the prospects are coming. Look how we built up these prospects. And when they get there, it's a struggle even to get through 2 batters.
Yeah, it's different. It's unfortunate that that was the – and I think that part of us, you know, we need to remember that this is a major league debut. The things are a lot different this year than what they normally are. I'm not trying to build in any excuses, because we got a text in that says, please explain to me how Kyle Funkhauser has earned a spot in the major leagues. He hasn't shown that he can throw strikes at the minor league level, and yet they put him on the major league team. Hard to take Avila and Gardenhire serious when they disrespect the game with moves like this. I don't think that this is disrespecting the game. I think that this is maybe the first, because remember what we were talking about before this thing actually started, right? Are we going to be able to bring some of the young guys up to take a look at what we have? And if we do that, we can't be upset when we bring some of these guys up and take a look at what we have.
I'm just more upset the fact that there have been people out there that have told us that Funkhauser and Burrows, that they were going to be awesome. And I think it's more of overvaluing the prospects that we do have and told, like, all right, just wait, they're coming. And it's like, okay, this is what I have to be excited about. Like, I'm going to get Steven Moya again. I'm going to get that kind of prospect again. Like,
ooh, please don't.
I'm going to, because that was the guy we heard about for years with Bo Burrows and Funkhauser and Derek Hill, who's going to be the first 35-year-old, you know, that doesn't have major league experience playing the minor leagues. Like prospects are nice, but you know what's nice? MLB players that can perform.
Yeah, this is true. Prospects are nice, and it's even better when they work out. But did you know, here's a fun stat about Kyle Funkhauser. He's never thrown, and pardon me, yes, he has. He has 2 complete game shutouts to his record. Both of those games he threw actual complete games. That was back in 2017, way back when. 2019, last season in Toledo, he made 18 starts. His win-loss record, he was 3-7 with an 8.53 ERA at the AAA level. 18 games, 3-7 in the win-loss. I don't put a whole lot of stock into that. As we talked a little bit about yesterday with DeGrom out there, I mean, you could be a hell of a pitcher and not be able to get the you know, get the final result because your team lets you down. But through 18 starts, a number that I think we could look at, an ERA of 8.53. There's also another statistical figure called RA9. That's runs against per nine inning, or run average per nine innings. So it's all of the runs that you allow every nine innings. And his RA9, which is kind of like ERA, but based on nine innings, 9.5. Right? So that's all runs, not just the earned runs. So you're giving up almost 10 runs per nine innings. Like, that's not great. That's not great at all. And he threw 63 innings down in Toledo. You get Bo Burrows, on the other hand. And by the way, Kyle Funkhauser is 25, 26 years old. Bo Burrows is 22, 23-ish. He was in Detroit for one game. He got that victory through five innings, in Erie last year, then moved up to Toledo to pitch for 15 games, finished with a 2-6 record. His ERA a little bit lower at 5.51. His RA9, runs allowed per nine inning, at 5.65 through 65 innings. Just not numbers that really stand out and blow you blow you on the floor. It's not like you had some guy that was down in Double A and Single A that nobody could score on. You know what I mean? Like, these are guys that, you know, other teams were able to get runs off of, and that's what we saw yesterday. During opening night, things looked all right. They looked all right through two innings, and then all of a sudden the wheels came off the bus, and you know, you dig yourself a hole at the major league level like the way the Tigers did last night. There's no coming back. More baseball with John Wagner when we return here on X's and Bros on the Michigan Sports Network.
Bill Simonson here for the sports medicine team at Metro Health University of Michigan Health. Now, they serve the entire state, and they offer up some of the best sports physicians, physical therapist, access to some of the best surgeons, and also a training staff that covers every sport, high school, youth, college, and pro. You can go to metrohealth.net. Just click on sports medicine. If you or a child of yours has suffered an injury and you want to get back to playing or maybe going out for that nightly jog, they can help. Or maybe your child wants to return to that game they love to play. Go to metrohealth.net. Just click on sports medicine. From youth to high school to college to semi-pro and pro sports, they are the leaders when it comes to dealing with sports injuries. Find out more. Go to metrohealth.net. Just click on sports medicine. That's metrohealth.net.
If you or your family is touched by autism, learn more about Freddy's Foundation at #PopTheTap at FreddyThePizzaMan.com. That's FREDI, ThePizzaMan.com. Or email FreddyThePizzaMan at gmail.com.
It's a new day, a day of winning big at Soaring Eagle. During the $1 million summer, Saturdays now through September. That's right, $1 million in premium play is up for grabs. With six players winning $500 every half hour from 9 a.m. to 11:30 p.m. It's the $1 million summer, only at Soaring Eagle Casino and Resort. Visit SoaringEagleCasino.com for complete rules and details.
Welcome back into X's and Bros here on the Michigan Sports Network. Danny Cahalan and Ryan Elke in the studio. I'm Anthony Bellino, and joining us on the horn right now, he covered the Tigers farm system for two decades. It is my good buddy, John Wagner. Mr. Wagner, good morning to you, my friend. How are you?
Anthony, I am a little slice of heaven, unlike the sport that I adore so very much. How are you this morning?
John, I was doing great. I was doing great. We had Friday and we had yesterday's show. And it felt real. We had games to talk about. We had the sport of baseball to talk about. Friday night, you and I had an exchange via text message where I thought that the Tiger season was over after nine innings. Not so fast, my friends. You had to hit me with a Lee Corso. And then they went ahead and won Saturday and Sunday and won the series against the Cincinnati Reds. So I'm as of right now, home opener last night, I am feeling somewhat still kind of good, although getting more and more skeptical. Let's go to baseball first, the on-the-field stuff, because you were, John, I felt like, I don't know if you'll get this reference, but during the shooting of Game of Thrones, there is a scene in which Jon Snow, the main character, is out in the middle of a field. He's chasing down his younger brother, and his younger brother gets hit with an arrow, and he's the only one out in the open field. And then next thing you know, the enemy starts charging, and he's hundreds of yards away from his own men, and he pulls out a sword as all the entire army is coming at him. I was like, this is John Wagner right now against his Twitter followers going to battle for this this new rule for extra innings.
And you know, the crazy thing is, Anthony, Let me just full disclose before we even discuss this rule. Everybody, I mean, yes, I spent Saturday and then again part of Sunday talking about the new extra inning rule where once a Major League Baseball game reaches the 10th inning, each team starts with a runner on second base. And I was the guy, I guess, defending it. And I'll full disclose. I really can care less. If baseball decides to never use it again, fine with me. If they decide to go ahead with it, also fine with me. I mean, I think people accuse me of stealing their cattle and all, you know, rustling up banditos and robbing stage coaches and, I mean, all sorts of bad behavior. Jaywalking, you know, spitting on mailboxes, you name it, I did it. And it's like, gang, I don't even have any skin in this fight. I don't care if they take it away or not. Seriously. However, people who are judging it after three games and only four viewings of it, I think those, you're in the wrong, okay? You're in the wrong. I think you need to let it play out, watch it, and judge it for yourself. If you watch it for a season and decide you like it or don't like it, I'm totally good with that.
I didn't realize that this was going to turn into a John Wayne dialogue. Stage coaches. You know, I find interesting about John Wayne's films, by the way, he always had like his sidekick always was like a state's name. It was Colorado in one film. It was Mississippi in another. My dad was into Western. So there was John Wayne was he was on the television a lot from what I remember as a youth. But it's very interesting that you, as a grown adult, would be able to use more than one side of your brain to say, hey, you know what, let's give this thing a whirl, and we don't have to condemn it to hell right off the bat, nor do we have to say this is the greatest thing since sliced bread. I personally, I like the rule, and I'll give it to you the same way that I told the listenership yesterday. I like the rule because why burn through your entire bullpen for one game? It's a regular season game. Now, in the playoffs, this rule isn't going to exist, and there is no tomorrow. So I can understand that, you know what, hey, if you got to use 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 guys in a playoff game, that's fine. But in a regular season game, and sure, you know, each game means more this season because of the condensed schedule. But, I mean, you don't want to have to blow through your entire bullpen to get one win. And with the Tribe in all
go ahead. Hang on a second, Anthony. Yep. Anthony, I'm sorry. I got to address that. Because believe it or not, that's not the reason I really like this rule. Because in the minor league, that's exactly the reason you have this rule. It's that you don't blow up your bullpen. Because teams are not going to have a bunch of pitchers. And if you use 6 pitchers in a game and have a doubleheader the next day, normally your major league team is going to say, hey, good luck with that, man. And you're on your own. In the major leagues, though, they've got, if they have a game like that, the next day they bring in reinforcements. And right now, the rosters are so large, there are teams with 16, 17 pitchers. So the chances you'll blow up your bullpen with one of these long games are not very large at the major league level. That's not the reason I like it at the major league level. Do you mind if I grab the wheel for a second, Anthony?
John, you are here to take the wheel, my friend. I am ready to hop in this back seat, and then I'll backseat drive if I need to.
All right, let's put it in gear and ride. How many more Cowboy references am I going to have? What's the over-under? Jeez.
I don't know. You're as loud as many as you want. Go ahead. I'm all here. I'm here for it.
I think I'm 3 and counting right now. If you had 3, take me over. We've got enough show to do it. The thing is, I like that it injects strategy into the game. Instead of hoping that your team hits the home run that wins the game in the 10th or 11th or 12th, there's suddenly strategy that's injected into winning and losing. And the strategy goes way beyond, well, should I sacrifice the guy to third, or should I hit behind the runner and try to advance him to third, or just play stationary ball and let my third swing away. We saw different examples of that over the weekend. Kansas City used small ball in Cleveland. They bunted the guy over to third, got a sacrifice fly to score the run, did not allow Cleveland to score, and won the game. And I know you probably don't have many Cleveland fans listening, but Cleveland fans, oh, they stole a game from us. No, they didn't. You lost the game because Kansas City executed and you didn't. More on that later. The other end of this is I watched California and Oakland play, or Los Angeles Angels and Oakland play. Los Angeles had Shohei Ohtani at second base. The batter hit the ball to first base. Ohtani just kind of head down, was trotting over to third, and didn't realize that Ben Olsen, the Oakland first baseman, threw to third base. Ohtani got caught in a rundown, got tagged out, and Angels didn't score. Now, Oakland got a grand slam homer to win it in the bottom of the inning. But, you know what, let me just cut to the chase. There are two things that I like to miss. One is the injection of strategy. Do you sacrifice? Do you get from behind? Hey, if you're the defensive team, do you walk the first batter to set up a fourth? You take the bunt out of the batter's hand because it's easier to force a guy at third than to tag him out on a bunt attempt. There's lots of strategies to make a long story short.
No, And by the way, all your points all your points there are completely accurate, and I agree with all of it. Mike Clevinger being upset because his team, they were at home. They had the top of the order ready to go on deck, and they went down swinging three straight. Like, that's nobody else's fault outside of the fact that, hey, sure.
Jose Ramirez and Francisco Lindor were the guys who struck it out. I mean, how could it have set up any better for Cleveland? It could not have. They just didn't execute.
And they didn't execute.
That's the thing. That's what I love. Teams are going to get exposed now. If you don't execute in this extra inning scenario, you're not going to win. And if you don't have enough pitching, which is what happened in the game between the Mets and Atlanta, the Mets ran out of pitching in extra innings, and Atlanta scored a bunch of runs on it. If you don't execute, more often than not, you're not going to win. And if you don't have enough pitching, you're not going to win. And I got to be honest, gang, that's the part of baseball I love. I want teams with good pitching to win, and I really love it when teams might be inferior, but they execute and they get rewarded with a win.
I am completely 100% in the same stagecoach as you, Mr. Wagner. I think that to me, not only do you prevent the bullpen, and I go with the burning up the bullpen as my lead into this, because no matter how big the rosters are and the fact that you have a taxi squad of guys that are available because of the situation that we are presented, that Miami and everybody else is now aware of, the least amount of contact you have, the better. And if you want to call somebody up, that's fine. You can do so and have the correct preparations, whether it's like a Casey Mize in Detroit. If you were going to say, hey, we're going to bring him up next Tuesday or whatever the case may be, you can have a plan to get him here, get him tested, and be able to do so in a manner that fits some sort of schedule. The least amount of contact you can have with other people, I think, is the idea across the board, or should be the idea across the board, for all teams. So if you can prevent burning up the bullpen, little amount of contact, and you inject that strategy, and you've actually sped up the game. And it's not as if one team, gets the advantage and another team doesn't. I mean, everybody's starting off with a runner on second base. So for me, I like it a lot. And I also think it prevents a 14-inning game. And, for me, I'm not a huge fan of college football because I don't think that, their overtime rule isn't great. I should say the college football overtime rule. Starting the ball or starting with the ball at the 25-yard line, you know, sure. I guess that's more of like a hockey shootout. But at the end of the day, we got to have a winner, and we're not trying to be here all day.
Yeah, now here's the bigger problem, Anthony. You touched on it very briefly. Well, no, you know what? Let's avoid the big problem, which is using the initial COVID. Let's hold that off for a second longer if we can, because I had several people on Twitter explain to me, well, this extra inning rule really benefits the visiting team because they can bring their closer in and close out the game. I'm like, seriously? The home team can't bring in their closer and keep the other team from scoring in the top of the inning? And also, it's one of those where if that's the example, then the visiting team has the advantage in the ninth inning because they can bring in their closer in the bottom of the ninth. Where the home team, you don't want to bring them in until you have a lead that you can close out. So home teams never have the advantage with the closer. I mean, the logic escapes me, but part three is, out there in the world of Major League Baseball right now, how many teams have closers like Mariano Rivera or Trevor Hoffman or the guys you say, when he comes in, it's over and you lose, period? There are not many teams who can say that right here, right now.
I'm trying to think, and I'm not coming up with a name. I mean, Mariano Rivera, obviously, I think that he's in his own category because there's a reason the Sandman played when that guy ran out in the field, because he was putting you to bed. Like, it was over. You were going to sleep. And I don't know off the top of my head if I could put anybody – I wouldn't put anybody in the same category in today's game. I think the longevity of the career has something to do with it. But that's a really good question to see, okay, who would be next? Who would have the potential to be that kind of intimidating force that when that door opens, that bullpen, the other team's like, all right – you know, we got to dig in now and get it, and we got to manufacture something, or this thing's over. I don't know. I don't know who else strikes fear.
Well, you know, yeah. Here's the thing: when I say Mariano Rivera, there's only one Mariano Rivera in the world, and Trevor Hoffman. These are two of the all-time greats. These are number one and two on the all-time save list. You know, I went to the top of the heap there. There are good guys out there right now that when they come into a game, you're in a world of hurt. I'm thinking Josh Hader in Milwaukee, Kirby Yates in San Diego, Aroldis Chapman with the Yankees.
Aroldis.
When those guys come in, I mean, it's pretty much game over. You know, you're going to have some help to get that. But, I mean, from there, you start going downhill a little bit. And after that, things become a little more fragile. And, you know, guys who are great this year may not be great next year. I mean, you know, for example, look at Cincinnati. There were times when Iglesias in Cincinnati was just a killer. Did he look like a killer this weekend? I sure didn't think so. So, you know, it depends on, you know, do you really have that lockdown closer that's going to end the game for you? Not a lot of teams do, to be honest.
You know, one of the first games I'd ever worked at Comerica for the Tigers, I want to say, was back in like 2014 or 2015, because Aroldis was still with Cincinnati, and I remember him coming in to close a game against the Tigers, and he would throw the ball, and you know where the game day operations booth is at behind home plate and up and just a little bit to the left, but still almost, you know, we sit right next to Alavila Suite, if you will. So to kind of give you know, fans a perspective where you're at in Comerica, we have the windows open. I'm a big fan of the windows being open just so you can hear the game. You can get a feel for what's going on out there, because you don't want to go over the top on somebody with their introduction. You know, you want to give them the juice, but you can't go over the top if, you know, you're down 14-1 and the situation doesn't call for it. You know, you kind of ride with the emotion of the game, right? And I like to be able to hear it. Aroldis Chapman came in and threw his warm-up pitches, and the first pitch that he threw with a batter in the box, the pop of the catcher's glove was something I'll never forget, because it sounded like it happened right next to me, and I was like, if that's what I would have to walk into the batter's box and face, I'm not doing it. You can call a sub. I need a pinch hitter, John. I'm out of here. I'm not getting hit with that thing. You kidding me?
Yeah. Now, having said that, there's a finite number of guys like that. That's my point in all this.
John, he was terrifying.
That. oh, well, yeah, not everybody has that. So my point is, if you're worried that, oh, this other team's going to bring in their closer and we're doomed, you know, that's not how this rolls these days. There are very few teams who have that pitcher in their bullpen.
Is it too early, or am I allowed, Mr. Wagner, to have, I don't know, like an appreciation broadcast? And we did this a little bit yesterday with for Gregory Soto of the Detroit Tigers. Is it too early with the he appeared in two games over the weekend. He struck out five, didn't give up a single run. He was absolutely lights out. Like there, I mean, it was great to see. I felt like when Soto walked in, I felt like they're a little different swagger, a little different confidence with him. Is it too early through two games of two appearances for him for me to go all aboard the Soto train?
Yes, it is, Anthony, because you just said the magic word. It's exactly two games. Two great games, two games where he gave you a glimpse of what he can do, okay? You've seen him at his best. You have to remember the other game where, you know, he needed a seeing eye dog to find the strike zone, and that, you know, and had, you know, you had more of an idea where his pitch was going than he did. Can he do that for a whole season? If he does, the Tigers have a fine. But yes, you're dealing with what he could be, not necessarily for certain what he is. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Who's that guy that we had in Toledo that we always used to joke about? He had a name like a car, and we always used to say he was coming out of the garage, and he could throw like a million miles an hour, but you never knew where it was going.
Boy, I'm not sure who you're thinking of.
Was there a Mercedes?
I remember is Jose Ortega. Do you remember Jose Ortega?
Jose Ortega.
Right-hander, yep. Through 97, had nasty, nasty stuff, but couldn't command it. Didn't always know where it was going. And if he had a couple of games where he was throwing strikes and dealing, man, he was the next coming. But he could not do that enough to be a regular in a major league bullpen.
I for some reason I want to say that the name might have been Mercedes, his first name, but I don't know. I'll have to go do some digging. But John, we made it through our entire segment without even mentioning really or discussing COVID-19. And for that, my friend, I call this a win. He's John Wagner, spent two decades covering the Tigers organization. John, thank you so much for the time this morning, my friend. We greatly appreciate you.
Anthony, I'm hoping we can talk baseball next week because COVID-19 took a shot at baseball this week. Everybody who's listening, stay safe.
It's easier than ever to save, and then save some more at Meijer. Look for new signs across the store to check off your list for less. Blue signs show new permanent price drops on everyday favorites like Meijer shredded cheese. Or look for red sale signs. You'll find hot, limited-time prices like family pack boneless skinless chicken breasts, only $1.88 per pound. With all new low prices, weekly sales, and more at Meijer, how low can your price go? Exclusions apply. See all the deals in the Meijer app.
Attention, Davenport University graduating class of 2020. A large number of your fellow Davenport 2020 graduates are not happy with Davenport's current plan for graduation ceremonies and would like change. If you agree and feel change needs to be made, join our Facebook group, Protest for Change DU 2020 Graduation. That's Protest for Change DU 2020 Graduation on Facebook. Other college graduates are getting more. Let Davenport's administration know your hard work deserves better.
Huge here for my good friend Mark Ewell. He's the executive director of the Michigan High School Athletic Association. And during this COVID-19 pandemic, they've been trying to find the balance between safety and the return to play for high school athletes throughout Michigan. You can get the latest news from their Lansing office at MHSAA on Twitter, MHSAA on Facebook, and online at MHSAA.com. They are currently formulating plans for the fall, spring, and the entire upcoming school year when it comes to high school sports, including summer trainings and workouts that could lead into scrimmages and practices beginning for fall sports. So again, go to MHSAA.com, at MHSAA on Twitter, MHSAA on Facebook to get the latest on COVID-19 and its impact on the return of high school sports in Michigan. Huge here for the incredible Tullymore Golf Resort. Now they're located in Canadian Lakes, Michigan, which is less than an hour north of GR, a couple hours from Detroit, maybe an hour and a half if you're coming down from Traverse City. It's accessible to everybody listening right now, and it's one of America's top public golf resorts. They offer two 18-hole layouts, Tullymore and St. Ives. They have fantastic stay-and-play packages like the Sizzle and Summer deal that includes a prime rib dinner. Go to TullymoreGolf.com, book that stay-and-play package, mention the Huge Show, and you could save at TullymoreGolf.com. Also, check out the Lodge. It holds 24 people if you want to have the ultimate stay-and-play getaway when it comes to golf and also after your round. They offer fine dining to great sandwiches and more. See it for yourself at TullymoreGolf.com. That is TullymoreGolf.com, the Tullymore Golf Resort in Canadian Lakes, Michigan.